Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We are wading right into the chaotic energy of February 2026 today. Honestly, reading through this week's research, it feels like the tech industry just downed five espressos and decided to sprint in three opposing directions at the same time.
It really does. It's one of those rare weeks defined by, well, total transformation. We're seeing financial earnings calls that have the same anticipation levels as blockbuster movie premieres, and we're seeing hardware specs that are just pushing the limits of human biology.
And just to keep things interesting, the complete blurring of reality itself, just a casual Tuesday, right?
Yeah, just another week in the simulation.
So to help us navigate this mess, we are digging into the Tech in Tech Report, February 2026 Breakthroughs. This comes to us from Majideed and Inspector Gemini. Our mission is to sift through all this noise, the price tags, the leak sheets, the existential dread, and figure out the actual direction the industry is heading.
Which is tricky, because the report makes it clear that the industry isn't just heading in one direction, it's actually pulling apart, it's diverging.
Diverging, huh?
Well, just look at the extremes. On one side, you have this massive push for accessibility games for the price of a sandwich. On the other, you have premium barriers rising higher than ever with hardware costs. And then, sitting right in the middle, is this AI factor threatening to upend how we see all of it.
So let's start with the money, because usually when we talk gaming news, we're hyping up a new release date. But this week, the biggest story in the report isn't a game. It's a math problem.
The Du Hast 40 euro challenge.
You have 40 euros. It's trending everywhere. It's happening right now on the PlayStation Store. And I think this caught so many people off guard because we're so used to the narrative that gaming is becoming this expensive luxury hobby.
Exactly. We're used to the $70, $80 price point for a new title. But Sony has executed this counterpunch, as the report calls it. They're basically saying, hey, here is 40 euros, go wild.
And what's shocking is how far that money actually goes right now. I was looking at the breakdown in the Tekken report. You can pick up Resident Evil 3, Tekken 7, and Cult of the Lamb, and you still have change left over.
And let's just pause on that lineup for a second. That isn't a shovelware bin. Resident Evil 3 is a AAA survival horror production. Tekken 7 is a premier fighting game. And Cult of the Lamb,
absolute banger.
It's an indie masterpiece. So for less than 30 euros, roughly, you are building a library that covers three distinct genres with really high-quality experiences.
You can basically build a killer four-game library for the price of one single indie title at launch. But why now? Is this just a post-holiday fire sale to clear the digital shelves?
No, the report suggests this is much more strategic. This is Sony's answer to the subscription fatigue we're starting to see.
You mean the Game Pass model, the whole Netflix of games thing?
Right. For the last few years, the industry mantra has been, don't own, just rent. Pay your monthly fee, get access to hundreds of games. But there is a downside to that model. You stop paying, you lose your saves, you lose the games, you own nothing.
And prices for those subscriptions just keep creeping up.
Precisely. So Sony is flipping the script. They're making a volume play. They're saying ownership is still viable if the price is undeniable. If they can get you to fill your hard drive with games you actually own for 10 bucks a pop, you're more anchored to their ecosystem than you are by a monthly rental fee you might just cancel next month.
It's almost like they're weaponizing the backlog. They know we all have those lists of games I meant to play, and at $9.99, the friction to buy them just disappears.
It's a very aggressive move for February.
Huh.
But it highlights that divergence we talked about. Because while Sony is doing the bargain bin but make it premium thing, Nintendo seems to be heading in the complete opposite direction.
Yeah, this is where the sticker shock comes in. Let's talk about the Switch 2. Or the rumors about the Switch 2 in the report. Because if these leaks are true, my wallet is already crying.
It is a significant shift in strategy. The report highlights new leaks suggesting a launch price of $499.
$500 for a Nintendo console.
I know, it sounds high.
It sounds insane. We're used to Nintendo being the casual budget option. You buy the Xbox or PlayStation for the high-end performance, and you buy the Switch for the kids or for portable fun, usually at a much lower entry point. $499 puts them directly in the ring with the PS5 and the Xbox Series X.
It does. But we have to look at the technical context provided in the report to understand why. They aren't just raising the price for inflation. They are reportedly using the NVIDIA T239 chip.
Okay, help me out here. I see T239 in the notes, but what does that actually mean for the person sitting on their couch? Is it just a slightly faster chip?
Mm. Think of it less like a faster chip and more like a smarter chip. The T239 is based on NVIDIA's Ampere architecture. That's the same tech that powered the RTX 30 series graphics cards for PCs.
Okay, so that's serious hardware.
It is. But the magic trick here isn't just raw horsepower. It's something called DLSS, Deep Learning Supersampling.
That's the AI upscaling stuff, right?
Exactly. The report mentions 4K docked capabilities. Now, a handheld device cannot natively render a massive game like Zelda in 4K without melting in your hands. It's just physically impossible with current batteries.
Right, it would last about 4 minutes.
But with this chip, the console renders the game at a lower resolution, maybe 1080p, and then uses AI to hallucinate the extra pixels to make it look like sharp 4K on your TV. That is why the price is $499. You aren't paying for a toy. You are paying for a miniaturized AI-powered PC.
So they're trying to bridge the gap. They don't want to be the weak but fun console anymore. They want to be the play anywhere, look great everywhere console.
Correct. But it's a massive gamble. Can you convince a parent to drop $500 on a handheld for their 10-year-old? That is the big question.
And that is why the report mentions that all eyes are on the rumored February 5th Direct.
The date everyone is circling. If they announce a $499 console, the software lineup has to be undeniable. It can't just be a port of an old game. It has to be something that makes you say, okay, I understand why I'm paying this premium.
It feels like the middle ground is just disappearing. You either buy cheap old games on PS5, or you buy expensive new hardware from Nintendo. Speaking of high stakes and disappearing middle grounds, let's move to the business side of things. Because if you think console wars are stressful, try being a shareholder for Take-Two Interactive right now.
Oh, absolutely. February 3rd, 2026, the date of the earnings call.
The report calls it the day the internet holds its collective breath, which sounds dramatic for a conference call about spreadsheets.
It is rare that a quarterly earnings call generates this much cultural hype. Usually these are dry affairs, profit margins, guidance for the next fiscal year. But with Take-Two, it is different because Take-Two owns Rockstar.
And Rockstar owns the Golden Goose, Grand Theft Auto.
The anticipation for GTA VA is actually warping the market. The report mentions that fans are desperate for anything. A trailer 3, fresh screenshots, a logo, literally anything.
But why does the stock market care so much about a trailer? I get why gamers care, but why do the guys in suits care if we see a virtual car chase this week?
Because markets run on certainty. Right now, there is a silence around the project. Silence makes investors nervous. They know GTA VI will sell 1 billion copies eventually, but they need to know when. And more importantly, they need to know about Leonida.
Leonida, that's the code name for the online mode, right? Based on the Florida setting.
Yes. And this is the key to the valuation. The single-player game is a one-time purchase, but Leonida Online, that is a recurring revenue engine for the next decade. The report notes that analysts expect a massive move to boost shareholder confidence. They want proof that this online ecosystem is functional and monetizable.
So they aren't just waiting for a game, they're waiting for a guarantee of future billions.
Exactly. The report says even a minor leak about the Leonardo online system creates a trending topic worldwide within seconds. It puts the whole industry on high alert.
It's wild to think about. If Take-Two drops a trailer during that call, it just sucks the oxygen out of the room for everyone else. If you're an indie dev or even another major publisher, do you just take the day off?
You basically have to. You do not want to release your news on the same day Rockstar clears its throat. It's like trying to whisper during a jet engine test.
So we have the software economy shifting with Sony, the hardware gamble with Nintendo, and the corporate hype machine with Take-Two. But there is another layer to this February breakdown that we need to touch on. We need to talk about raw speed.
The hardware limits.
I read this part of the report twice because I honestly thought it was a typo. Philips has launched a new monitor, the Evnia 27M2N 500 XD. Terrible name, by the way.
Terrible name. Incredible engineering.
The spec. 1,000 hertz. 1,000 hertz.
It is the 1,000 hertz threshold.
Okay, I need you to break this down for me. I have a 144 hertz monitor at home. It looks buttery smooth. We were told 360 hertz was the peak of what humans could perceive. Why on earth do we need 1,000? Can we even see that?
That is the debate. But here is the thing. For professional esports, which is where this is targeted, it's not just about seeing the individual frames. It is about persistence of vision and motion blur.
Explain that.
Okay, so on a normal screen, even a fast one, when your eyes track a moving object, like an enemy running across a hallway in Counter-Strike, your brain blurs that image. It's because the screen is holding the previous frame just a fraction of a second too long before showing the next one. It's called sample and hold blur.
So the blur isn't in the game. It's happening between my eye and the screen.
Exactly. At 1,000 hertz, you are refreshing that image once every single millisecond. The report notes that this monitor virtually eliminates that motion blur. It creates a clarity of motion that looks almost like real life.
So it's not just about smoothness, it's about precision.
Right. In 2026, the standard has shifted. As the report says, lag is no longer an excuse. It has shifted to microsecond precision. If you are a pro player and you miss a shot, you can't blame the hardware anymore.
That's almost stressful. I like blaming the lag. It protects my ego.
Well, your ego is going to have to find a new shield. But there is a trade-off. To get that speed, you sacrifice resolution. This is a 1080p monitor.
Ah, so we're back to the divergence.
Exactly. You have the Nintendo crowd potentially moving to 4K visual fidelity at lower speeds, and the PC competitive crowd staying at 1080p, but going for Mark 10 speeds.
And speaking of the PC crowd, we can't ignore the engine room. Intel is apparently done being quiet.
Yes, the return of Team Blue.
The report mentions Panther Lake CPUs and the return of Xeon 600 workstation processors.
This is significant for the heavy users, the builders, the editors, the data scientists. Intel is explicitly aiming to reclaim the desktop and workstation crown from AMD. For a few years there, AMD was just running circles around them in terms of efficiency and multi-core performance.
But these new chips sound high maintenance. The report specifies they require ultra-fast RAM. Specifically, 7,567 MTs.
That is a very specific and very high number. MT stands for mega transfers per second. It basically measures how fast the CPU can talk to its short-term memory.
Why does it need to be that fast?
Because modern CPUs like Panther Lake are so fast that they spend a lot of time just waiting for data to arrive. By enforcing this 7,467 MT standard, Intel is trying to eliminate the bottleneck. But it means you can't just upgrade one part. You need the new CPU, the new motherboard, the expensive new RAM.
It's an expensive time to be an enthusiast. So, if I'm tracking this right, we have monitors faster than our eyes can track, processors that need jet fuel RAM, and consoles costing as much as a used car. The hardware is getting realer and faster, but, and here's where the report takes a turn.
The existential shift.
Yeah, we have to talk about Sora too.
This is the part of the report that actually gave me pause.
Me too. We know OpenAI has been working on video generation, but Sora 2 is expanding globally, and the reaction isn't just, oh, cool video. The reaction is fear.
The report uses the words terrifying to describe the level of realism.
It says film critics and tech experts, people who are trained to spot CGI, people who look for the artifacts and the weird lighting, they are admitting they can no longer distinguish these AI-generated clips from high-end cinematography.
That is the crossing of the Rubicon. We have been saying for years, oh, AI video is weird, the hands are wrong, the physics are floaty.
The Will Smith eating spaghetti era.
Right. That was funny.
History.
This is not funny. If we are at the point where experts are fooled, we have lost the ability to trust visual evidence.
The report specifically calls this a challenge for digital trust.
Think about the implications. We just talked about GTA VI and the graphics of the Switch 2. Those are clearly video games. You know you are in a simulation, you see a dragon, you know it's fake. But with Sora 2, you are looking at a video of a street or a person or a news event, and you cannot know if it happened.
It really messes with your head. If I see a trailer for a movie, did they film it or did they type it?
And does it matter to the viewer? That is the question the industry is grappling with. For content creators, this is revolutionary. You can generate a blockbuster scene from your bedroom. That's the democratization of Hollywood. But for society, for news, for truth, it is a massive destabilizing force.
It's ironic, isn't it? We are spending thousands of dollars on 1,000 hertz monitors and 4K consoles to make our games look more real. We are chasing immersion. Meanwhile, the fake video generators are becoming indistinguishable from reality for free.
It creates a strange paradox. The digital world we control gaming is trying to look like reality. The digital world we watch video is becoming a fabrication.
So we have this spectrum. On one end, the $10 copy of Resident Evil 3, a game that is undeniably a game. Fun, scary, interactive. On the other end, Sora 2, a video that looks real but is a complete lie.
And in the middle, the hardware manufacturer is just trying to sell us the chips to power it all.
It really is a week of transformations. The Tech and Tech report nailed that description. We are seeing the economics of gaming shift with Sony and Nintendo, the business of hype with Take-Two, the limits of physics with Philips, and the limits of truth with OpenAI.
It's a lot to process. It feels like 2026 is going to be a year where we have to constantly recalibrate what we value Do you value the high-fidelity hardware? Do you value the cheap software library? Or do you value the ability to discern what is real?
That is the question. And frankly, after reading about Sora 2, I think I value the cheap distraction of Tekken 7 a lot more. I'd rather punch a virtual bear than question the nature of reality.
That is a valid coping mechanism.
So let's wrap this up. We've covered a lot. The 1000 hertz era is here. The $500 Nintendo Switch might be here. And the era of believing what you see on a screen is, well, officially over.
A cheery thought to end on.
But hey, at least we have the sales. Which brings us to the question we want to leave you with today. Sony asked it, and now we're asking you. The Du Hast 40-euro challenge.
If you had 40 euros in your PlayStation wallet right now, looking at that list, Resident Evil, Tekken, Cult of the Lamb, what would you buy? Would you grab the volume of games, or would you put it all toward one big title?
I think I'd go for the volume, but I'm cheap.
I'd probably save it for the Switch 2 fun.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I'm going to need every penny.
Fair point. And here's one final thought to chew on as you go about your week. We talked about Sora 2 and how experts can no longer tell the difference between AI video and reality.
Right.
If we have moved past the era of believing is seeing and the world on your screen can be faked with terrifying realism, is it possible that the only authentic media experience left is the one you play yourself? In a video game, you know the rules, you control the outcome, and you know it's fake. Ironically, that might make it the most honest thing on your screen in 2026.
That is something to think about.
Thanks for diving in with us. We'll catch you next time.